Well, good morning, everyone. A young police officer was taking his final exam for the police academy, and he comes across the following question. You are on patrol in the outer city when the explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown into the footpath, and there is an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of the police chief, who is presently out of the country. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of the nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby, and that the shock of the explosion has put her into labor. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what actions you would take. The young man thought for a moment, picked up his pen, and wrote, I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. Ironically, in the last service, we have two retired police officers, and he's told me, he says, they actually ask that question at the police academy to see how you would respond. Not necessarily the answer, but how you would respond. But have you ever felt like that? That conditions around you make you want to just hide and blend in? Sometimes in our jobs, even our walk with Christ, we might want to just step back and be unnoticed. A lot of those feelings actually are born out of fear. We are afraid of what others might think. We are afraid of the truth. Last week, we talked about breaking through the darkness that is all around us. And today, I want to talk about walking in that light that Christ gives us. How do we do that? Yes, becoming a Christian is a free gift. Yes, becoming a Christian is life-changing and in something that God desires for all of us. But there's also growth that is involved or should be involved in every believer's life. It involves choices that we make along the way. The disciples of Jesus couldn't just listen to what was taught to them and just sit on it. If they did that, we wouldn't even be here today. They had to grow. They had to stand on what they knew to be true. They had to face the world around them as the Spirit led them on that path. They had to walk in this new light that has been revealed to them. And Jesus reveals what seems to be some pretty harsh words that we heard today. Much of it describes the price that they will have to pay by following him. They heard things like there will be acceptance and rejection in various places, how brother will betray brother, father his children, how people will hate them for what they believe, and then they can expect nothing more than what he has endured. These are pretty strong words. Yesterday, we celebrated and witnessed a beautiful wedding as Tom and Elizabeth got married, and we heard these wonderful words of love out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, called the love chapter. And we hear it almost at every wedding. And today we hear Jesus say this, do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've come to bring, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, to a lot of people, those are hard words to listen to. They go against the grain. Is it any wonder, like Ross said a couple of weeks ago, that a lot of rectors were on vacation these 2 weeks? It's like Trinity Sunday, and when we hear verses like this today, I'm not on vacation if you're visiting with us. When we hear things like that, we just want to blend into the congregation, so to speak. These words of Jesus can be confusing because they seem to be at odds with everything that God stands for, what we've been taught about, and the very character of God. Even the angels, when they went to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus, they sang this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. But you see, what may seem like a huge physical conflict isn't that at all. God coming to us in the person of Jesus was indeed perfect peace coming to his people on earth. Those who experience the love of God in Christ will experience a peace that goes beyond our understanding. There is joy and happiness like we have never experienced before. But as we have discussed before, there's also inherent separation from God. There is a long history of evil being loose on the earth. When Christ entered the earth as perfect man, just as Adam and Eve were considered perfect, instantly he became in conflict with the evil that existed around him. And that evil exists where? In the heart. Jealousy, greed, the pride of life, you name it. If this is how you're living your life, and the very author of truth comes among you, there's going to be friction. Jesus said, I bring a sword. But it's not a sword like we would normally think of a sword. If you read in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, the writer says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division and soul of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Also remember how John described Jesus. He is the word made flesh. So Jesus is telling his disciples that there is a spiritual battle going on from within. His words are going to cut to the very core of those who hear it. I know when I gave my life to Christ, something happened in my heart. There was something that was severed at that point. Some may not like it. Some will reject it. Others will downright hate you for it. But Jesus wants people who will put him first in their lives. That's why we are spelling out these seemingly difficult words about conflicts it may create in others. Whoever loves their father or mother more than him is not worthy of him. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than him is not worthy of him. Jesus is telling his disciples that he has to come first in their lives, and that the lives of all those who call on him, he has to come first. And here's why. Despite all those who reject you, there will be others who will be so hungry for what you have. They will crave, because the heart craves it, because we're created by God, but they will crave what has been missing in their lives. Jesus goes on to say the following verses, whoever receives me, receives you, receives me. Whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. You see, there will be those whose hearts will be so open to the truth of the message. Jesus said, even if it's only a cup of water that you give someone, something as small as that, they'll take it away as a message from the Lord in that kindness that you give to others. God will honor it. Jesus is talking about walking in his light and growing in our faith. And that should never stop. Our walk with the Lord is always a process of going deeper and deeper in our walk and in our love of him. He fills us with the love that can only come from him. As many of the Psalms state, it is a steadfast love. It never fails. It is a love that is in direct opposition to what once controlled us, the greed and the pride of life and those things. It doesn't mean that we never have to deal with sin, but through Christ, we have relinquished the control of that sin. We have gotten rid of it. We turned it over. What it does mean is that Christ becomes first in every aspect of our lives. And he is primary focus of what keeps us connected to the Father. Let me tell you something. When you start putting Christ first in our relationship with our spouse, that relationship becomes much stronger, much more. when we start working in our jobs as working as to the Lord, that job becomes much more. Every relationship we have, friend, acquaintance, neighbor, those who bug us and those who don't, we start putting the love of Christ into those situations, you watch what happens. A few weeks ago, I was talking to one of our sons who is relatively new in the workforce. Here's a group of people in an office and experiencing the same stresses and the same pressures. He is under the same quotas and the same pressures that they are. And he said this to Debbie and I. They keep asking me, why am I always happy? Why do you always have a smile? One person jokingly says she wants to go home every night and slit her wrist. Now, not really, but she was just joking. She's under that much stress. But she looks at our son and says, you're so happy. One person in the office actually caught on and said privately to our son, you're a Christian, aren't you? And that person, when you're a Christian, you kind of stand out. People notice the light in the darkness. That's why we need to grow in our faith. You see, the love of Christ in us makes us a far better friend, a far better spouse, and a far better family member, a far better and honest employee. And that's why Jesus said he has to come first in our lives. This turns our life into an exciting and a whole person in Christ. As I said last week, that is not something we just sit on. It wasn't meant to sit on. Jesus said, what we hear in secret, what we hear in prayer, in his word, we should be proclaiming from the house or rooftops. We don't need to fear what Jesus wants and desires us to do because we know he's always with us. Jesus brings up fear 4 times in this reading. Fear and being afraid should be nothing new to us. We can see it all through scriptures. Jacob had the anointing of God on him, a powerful anointing of God on him. But he secretly fled Laban, his father-in-law, because he was afraid. In our Old Testament reading today, Jeremiah the prophet was giving the people the word from the Lord, but it's not what they wanted to hear. So they began to ridicule him and reject him, and he wanted to give up. This is a man anointed, a powerful anointing by the Holy Spirit, and he cries out, Lord, you have deceived me. He was so angry. Jeremiah is one of the so-called major prophets. He knew and experienced the power of God, but for a moment, he just wanted to quit. But look what he finally said and what he finally realized came right from his heart. He said, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. It was because of the assurance that he had in God that kept him going, and he knew he was not alone. We can't expect anything less in our walk than what Jeremiah had, or what the disciples of Jesus had, or what Jesus had himself. We'll be surrounded by the world with its diversity, with its troubles, and Jesus says, be my witness. Bring that light to the world. Of course, we all have a choice to make. But you know what? It doesn't matter what others might say or do. Because our strength is in the Lord. And if we believe what he has said to us, he will empower us with his spirit and to carry out his will in the world. The point is this. If we are following him, he is going to be with us, period. He has promised it all. And if we turn our lives over to him, he has promised that. And we have the assurance of that promise that he is there with us. I pray that the words of Jesus will burn in our hearts when he said this. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before the Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Lord, help us to burn with your favor. Help us to be a witness to you wherever we are, whatever we're doing. May the words of Christ on that day be, when we finally see him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you desire us to be the light in the world, the salt of the earth as you've called us. Lord, wherever we go, we represent you. And we're open to times when we need to be used by you, when we need to say something, when we need to pray with somebody. Whatever it is, Lord, you know what it is. So, Lord, I ask as we leave this place today, you would charge us with your spirit to be those ambassadors, to be those witnesses, to be that light that you've called us to be. Father, use us, we pray. Light the fire within us, Lord, to be examples of who we're supposed to be in you. And we just cast out fear in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do and desire to do through each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.